Have you ever acted with such boldness that the only way things would work out was if God showed up in the middle of it? Or maybe, you know, thinking about that God-sized dream that you have and you stepped out in faith, have you ever done that? Well, if so, as we get going today, I'd like you to take some time and just write it and share that in the chat right now. We're gonna keep going, but please just type away, okay? Because I guess the flip side of this kind of bold faith is what Parker Palmer talks about as practical or functional atheism. Palmer writes this: functional atheism is the belief that ultimate responsibility for everything rests with us, not God. Right? This unconscious, unexamined conviction that if anything decent is gonna happen here, we're the ones that must make it happen, right? It's a conviction held even by people who talk a good God game. I know that I, Chris, would feel this kind of functional atheism kind of welling up inside of me during the pregnant pauses of life, right before something is gonna happen. And my natural reaction when there's quiet or stillness is to fill that space with anxiety. Remember the story of Mary and Martha, right? Or do something to kind of help God along or press God's hand a little bit because I'm not that great at waiting at God's time. You know, this slack time often feels like the undertow when you're at the ocean and it feels like it's trying to pull you back out the sea before the big wave comes and crashes down. Or maybe it's this kind of feeling of a rock climber when they lose their grip and they begin to fall off of the rock right before the rope tightens and catches them. But living as a functional atheist and never depending on God leads us only to dream and act as large as our minds can wrap around a solution. In some ways, the extent of the boldness of our lives is determined by the amount that we are convinced that God is in the mess and the anxiety of the pauses. We're only as big as we can dream, and with God, it's much, much bigger. Remember, you can't outdream God. Now, this week we're continuing on with our Finding God in the Mess series. Today, we are going to see one of the most epic showdowns in the totality of Scripture because the prophet Elijah is willing to be bold and take this season of boldness in life's messes. Now, I would encourage you to read all of Elijah's story. It's only a few chapters and it begins in our Bible, 1 Kings chapter 17, where we started a couple of weeks ago. Now, Elijah is the spokesman for God, and he's been given the call to get the attention of God's people and remind them that they are only to worship God. Now, you know, that's easier said than done. And it reminds me of a task that recently, my wife and I had a little date night at home because we don't go out, and we decided to watch a Netflix movie called Don't Look Up. Now, it's this wonderful bit of satire about the suspension of belief and how hard it is to get people to pay attention. And so Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence kind of co-star in this movie, and they're two researchers who make a discovery that puts the entire world in peril. And so the bulk of the film is them trying to get others to listen to them about the disastrous truth that the world might end because a comet is hurtling towards Earth. And eventually they, you know, just tell people to look up while other messages are don't look up. The task given to Elijah feels similar to the task of these two researchers telling the world that danger is near if they don't act soon. Needless to say, Elijah's caught in this season of boldness as he needs to do something in order to get the attention of God's people, and that won't happen without God's help. Have you ever been in a season like this, a season of boldness before? These seasons kind of feel like you're in over your head and there's no turning back because you've reached that point of no return. You need to take a leap of faith off of the high dive and trust that God will be there in it. A season of boldness is one that you need God's help to pull off, right? That's what we're talking about. And so with this boldness in mind, Elijah kind of hatches this plan. Now, remember that God had shown up in a season of need and a season of loss already. If you weren't here for those messages, just go back and look them up, okay? But so from Elijah's perspective, it seems only natural that God will show up and set up this kind of wonderful, miraculous showdown. And so Elijah does just that. He sets up this showdown between the God of Israel and Baal, who's been the kind of primary distraction of God's people up to this point. After all, if you're gonna try to make headlines and get the attention of everyone in the land, going after the God that the queen worships seems like a pretty easy bet, right? And so the kind of short condensed version of it that we heard is that Elijah sets up this challenge where 450 priests from Baal are on one hill, and Elijah, just Elijah, is on another one. Now, each of them has an altar set up, and on that altar is a sacrifice, is like a cow, you know? And the challenge is to have their God set fire and consume that offering before the other. And so all 450 priests tried to get the altar to ignite in fire while Elijah taunts them. Maybe your God's out to lunch, taking a nap, whatever, right? And then with this kind of real boldness that Elijah knows can only then work if God shows up, he begins to douse his wood with water, so much so that there is a pool of water in his altar that his offering is sitting in. And then he begins to pray. And God shows up, and fire comes down from heaven with such ferocity that it evaporates the water, burns the offering and everything else. Elijah and God won the challenge, and now he has the attention of the people. Also, he's got a pretty irritated, mad queen because Elijah was kind of a jerk during the whole display, right? But at the end of the day, he won the challenge and he had the ear and the eye of all the people. Elijah took just about the biggest risk. And in that slack time, in that pause time, in that undertow time, he prayed. He expected God to show up. And God does in a big way. Now, this is a really dramatic story, but as I've thought through this, you know, some of the questions that I have is, so this is a good story, but what does this have to say to me today? After all, I'm not going to go down the street and try to throw down with some of the priests across the way or out of a different denomination or anything else, right? And so what we have to do is kind of put it in our context, because we all have opportunities to step out in faith. You know, when we think about Elijah's actions in terms of making big moves towards our personal call or the mission that God has in store for us, we can begin to see what a season of boldness looks like. A season of boldness might be saying yes to a new job opportunity, or it might be saying no to something so you can make space for what God is calling you to next. To go to school, to try something new, to reach for a vision that you might have that you can't even say out loud as worry that you might blow it out. You know, I've seen this season of boldness at Faith Point when we caught vision to launch an online campus. Invitation and innovation is part of the DNA of who we are, and it birthed Common Table 1.0. It was called Faith Point Online back then. And when we came to the leadership and said, you know, we want to take this online space then and make it less about Faith Point and more about a church online for everyone, showcasing the best of what the church might be in a culture and community so filled with isolation and anxiety. We want to create resources to help other churches cultivate online community. The team said, yes, we'll find the money, we'll find out the how somehow, but this feels like the right next thing. And if God's in it, it'll succeed, and if not, we'll see, right? And during the height of the lockdown and the pandemic, we were able to share our model with thousands of church leaders, literally thousands of church leaders from this little online campus, from multiple denominations. We have helped equip churches in a number of different states and host recovery groups and our friends from Living Grace. We were able to allow them to use our space and basically kind of rent our virtual space so that they could have worship when we were all totally virtual. It's powerful because we're willing to step out in boldness. And when it comes down to kind of moving in a bold God-sized direction, the question is, here it is, are you ready? Are you gonna live like God is real or not? Personally, when I've been bold and taken strides into a future that's larger than I can imagine, God has often surprised me with something even better than I thought possible. Maybe not the exact way I thought it was gonna happen, but at the end of the day, man, there is blessing and gift, and my soul is rejuvenated and alive because of what God has done in the midst of the season of boldness. Friends, remember, bold moments will never come if we don't give God a chance to show up in the mess. So let's give God some room to show up in the bold mess of our lives this week as we faithfully take that next step in a big God-sized vision in a way that only God could pull off. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the ways in which you give us the example of Elijah and of our fellow partners on the journey, that we can see seasons of boldness paying off and bringing about your kingdom and bringing it closer and catching the attention of others, saying it is good to be in this space. God, allow us to make some room for you to move within that boldness, that when our knees are quaking and we are nervous and our palms are sweating, that you might come in. Because God, we don't want to act and step all over your toes. Allow us to be bold enough to pause, to pray, and to let you work. God, it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.